Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
I got a new phone.
That's exciting.
Jesus, you know, I'm allowed to get a new phone.
The old one was 10 years old.
Well, no, it wasn't that old. But
I'm bored. Welcome to Cheater in the Rood. This is Jeff Kreisler. I am the author of Get Rich Cheating and the guy that next week in Boston will be at Club Passam Thursday at 8 for you to attend a show.
What was that club again? I didn't really understand what you said.
Club Passam, P-A-S-S-I-M, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Go to getrichcheating.com for info. Come out. Email me, listeners, for a discount. What the heck?
And this is Lee Papa. I'm the author of the Rood Pundit blog on your internets at rudepundit.blogspot.com. You can find us both on the Twitter at Rood Pundit and
at Jeff Kreisler. And who do we have here also in the studio today?
Joining us now for third time?
Third visit,
which makes him the champion. At least, the person that has little to do when we're doing our show.
Well, all I wanted to do was win, so that's it.
All right, good.
Well, by being equally underemployed as such, you have won and are the champion.
Yes. There will be some nice gifts for you and for our third anniversary. This is Drew Overton, who is... you want to tell people what you do?
What do I do?
Yes.
Gosh, I do so many things, Lee.
All right, then. That is brilliant. Jeff, you were telling me something fascinating about...
So I do have the show in Boston, which I mentioned and will mention again. And I was trying to promote it and also catch up with some people. And I spread the word among some old friends from where I went to junior high in Amherst, Massachusetts. And I posted it and I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the guy that threw up on this guy during a pep rally. And this is, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And people said, sure. And this one girl, who I won't name, emailed me back and said, hey, I don't know if you remember me, because I have many thousands of Facebook friends who are all just other comedians trying to promote their shows. But blah, blah, wanted to reconnect and just say how it's going. And I responded to her. I said, do I remember you? You are the girl, the first girl I ever asked out. I remember a conversation where I was talking to you, and I said, hey, would you like to go out with me? And you said, who is this? And I said, Jeff. And you said, Jeff who? Do I remember you? You are the reason I do comedy. You are the reason why every night I look to strangers for validation and love.
Wow. So she's the one to blame. She's sort
There's
of
no blame.
She's sort of patient zero, isn't she? She's the alpha.
And as she herself admitted, to her credit, she herself admitted she apologized and said that happened because she was, as she put it, an early bloomer, and many 13-year-old boys gave her much attention, and it wasn't just because of her big eyes.
So, okay, so she had a large vagina, is what you're saying.
Okay, please, a little respect. She had a luscious vagina.
I hope she hears this. I hope somebody does. So,
Cheater in the Rood, Progressive Radio Network. So, by progressive, we mean offensive to women.
It's postmodern irony.
It's getting warm in here. Is this global warming? I'm kind of moist.
You're also a Jew.
Okay, that's true. That's right.
You're born...
We own water, and we carry it in our bodies.
Yes.
It's water, the media, and banks. That's
yes,
us.
Yes.
Speaking of the media and banks, Rupert Murdoch, can we... Is that a segue?
That is an amazing segue.
Beautifully done.
Drew, what were you thinking about? What do you think about this Rupert Murdoch News Corp, News International, phone hacking in Britain, hacking into the phones of possibly 9/11 victims?
Everybody.
Best title ever.
Anybody that...
It just sounded like you were describing it in a title form.
Oh,
we go,
yes.
That's
yeah.
why... A lot of
anything that can sell the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
So you're cool with it? You're fine? Hack into phones? Hack into the phones of dead children?
I'm just not surprised.
Well, this is what this is what gets me. Okay, for those of you not familiar with the story, very briefly, News of the World, Rupert Murdoch's paper, one of his many, hacked into
in Britain,
hacked into 9/11 victims allegedly, hacked into this girl, a young white woman who was abducted and killed, deleted some of her voicemails so they could get more scoops, and that deletion, is that a word, gave parents false hope that she was still alive. And this is kind of shocking.
They've now said that the guys they hacked into like 4,000 people's.
Oh yeah, they did it before. They were already known to have done that. But what really got the ball rolling to closing the News of the World 130 something year old paper was the hacking into this one young victim and potentially into 9/11 victims
and 7/7 victims in England.
Right,
that would be the subway bombing in England.
They're 9/11 because of the exchange rate.
And how did they discover this?
They discovered it through the undercover work of a man known to all as Hugh Grant.
Yes, exactly.
He wore a wire.
Hugh Grant wore a wire and got the evidence.
But you know, what people don't realize is when he was asked to wear a wire, he thought it meant get a blowjob from a tranny.
Yes, yes. Can you imagine, though, what that sounded like? You know, Hugh Grant, who always as the stumbling, you know, charming British kind of, well, self-deprecating kind of thing. Now when he's wearing a wire, he's choking on his own stutter.
I'm going to make you...
Or maybe
like
that was
the entire rest of the show. You have to do whatever that.
I don't know. I think it wasn't an accent. It was apparently maybe it was him choking on a tranny. But anyway,
here's what gets me, and I understand this is human nature and political nature, but the Rupert Murdoch, all of a sudden, everyone is seeing that he's amassing power through corrupt ways. Like, why does it take something that shocks the conscience? Why does it take the exploitation of a young, pretty white woman? Why does it take 9/11 victims being exploited in 7/7? Why does it take this stuff for people in power to finally see what is so obvious? I mean, finally, UK Parliament wanted to stop another merger of his, buying the Sky
B thing. Sky B.
Yeah, why? I mean, it makes sense, but it just frustrates me that it takes something so awful to get people to see what's already awful.
Just in case people don't understand, why should Americans give a shit why Rupert Murdoch is in trouble in England?
Because it's one world now.
No. Why should they give a shit?
I don't know, Lee. I think you're going in something.
Because it didn't just happen there.
Because it probably just happen there. Because Murdoch's News Corp, which is a dynastic corporation, it owns Fox News.
They own the people that publish my book.
Fox Business News, HarperCollins. Mm-hmm. They own the Wall Street Journal. They own a number of politicians.
New York Post.
They own the New York Post. They own...
they own Fox News? Because that's weird. Because I've been going on FoxNews.com to try to find stories about the Murdoch scandal, and there's literally one and a half.
Yes, yes. And you know, if you go to LexisNexis and try to look up to see how often it's been mentioned on Fox News, it has been mentioned in the last week 3 times by Brett Baer. And
I think, aren't they all the equivalent of crazy left-wing politicians call for investigation?
No, it's more like, and in other news, the guy that owns our company probably broke the law. Moving on, tomorrow on our show.
Well, what I like is the maybe part of this show.
That was not, by the way, an imitation of Brett Baer. I don't know how to do Brett Baer.
That was actually a recording of Brett Baer.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait to hear more about Bears later in the show. This whole shock.
Not yet.
Did you say something? This whole shocking the conscious thing is good in a way, I guess, because it shows what the problem is with media consolidation. In that many people would say, well, so what if everybody just one person controls everything? It's because if the person that controls everything can go into your private information, your private life, this is what happens. And, you know, if Murdoch had his way, he would essentially be owning Facebook to do even more evil, but he picked up MySpace instead. And the MySpace purchase was in hopes of basically, imagine Murdoch plus Zuckerberg minus what, let's admit, a little bit is Zuckerberg's good-naturedness, which is not much. Imagine Murdoch having control of facial recognition. That's it. Zuckerberg's not that bad. We're comparing him to freaking Rupert Murdoch. I mean, he's the guy that invented butterflies compared to Rupert Murdoch.
I just don't know why you're giving him so much credit right now.
Who knows who's invaded people's privacy more at this point?
But it's done it in a... Look,
we're talking 4,000 versus hundreds of millions.
750 million, yeah. Something like that, I think it's up to.
I mean, well, look, this is fine. This is grounds for another discussion. I stand by the uninformed opinion that Rupert Murdoch is worse than Mark Zuckerberg.
Sure, sure. I would guess if you put them in a room and had the devil decide which one deserves sodomizing more, that Murdoch would definitely be getting the barbed demon cock.
But he's got 50 years on Zuckerberg.
That's true, that's true. Zuckerberg in 50 years is going to be... Actually, you know what? Zuckerberg in 50 years is just going to be, you know, dead from blowing hookers. So.
I think Zuckerberg in 50 years is going to be a pretty sweet-sounding band.
So here's the other part of this is that not only is the FBI now opening an investigation of News Corp.
I wish we had X-Files music right now.
Yes, because of the possibility, the allegation that they hacked into the phones of the families of 9/11 victims, but Murdoch and his son, whose name is James Murdoch, coincidentally enough, they have agreed to appear before the parliamentary committee that is investigating this. They didn't have to because they're American. However, they've decided to do so.
Are they American or Australian?
No, they are naturalized Americans.
Oh.
They are Americans. They were born in Australia, but they're naturalized Americans.
You can buy your way over the Mexican fence.
Yes, yes. So
also
so,
a great album.
So I was wondering, you know, what it might sound like if when Murdoch gets into the committee room, how he might join them.
Out of the way, Dobie!
Wow, I could barely understand what he was saying.
Well, that's really the way it goes.
Do you have any other sound clips from what he would sound like?
Well, I think I do. I think that he has advice for budding newscasters.
Never go out with us. If you do, you'll never come back.
Here's what's important to me: Michael Caine or Crocodile Dundee. Did you notice that it sounds sort of similar?
Yeah, yeah. I think Murdoch would have a response for you.
Well, how would I know? Shit for brunt.
I believe that's what he called Rebecca. What's her name? Rebecca. You know what I'm talking about? Her hit, the Net of News International.
Yeah, but you know, Murdoch has an opinion of his own own news gathering operation.
You can live on it, but it tastes like shit.
He's a delicious man.
You know what?
I would hope one day to have a meal with him. Perhaps he could put another, what do you call those things on that cooking device? Shrimp on a...
Get stuffed!
Excellent point, sir. Hey, can we just, in case, we're wondering what the big deal is about News Corp taking over the world, and maybe we're finally going to cut him like Ivan Drago was cut in Rocky IV, is Eric Bolling, one of my least favorite people in the world, the other day on Fox News, said that there were no terrorist attacks in the United States between 2000 and 2008.
Wow, what does Rupert Murdoch have to say about that?
Get on the right side of the road, you pelican!
You know, Rupert Murdoch, didn't he recently go to Japan to give a speech also?
Did he really? What did he say?
Wow, what a dick.
Yeah, you'd think that would be just a little offensive at this point to the Japanese.
It would be, but it doesn't matter because the Japanese paper didn't report it because he controls the paper. And when people say, hey, look, it's Rupert Murdoch, what this comes up sounding like is...
Godzilla!
And scene.
Wow. I think this is the perfect time to take a brief break.
Goodness.
Since you're here, Drew, I just thought you should be entertained.
Please.
Yes, yes. So, and Jeff, you're welcome to listen in.
Oh, can I be entertained too?
Yes, yes, you can. This is my favorite story. Quite possibly one of my favorite stories of all times. I think it actually says a great deal about us as a nation.
This is another real news moment that reflects us as a nation.
And Drew, the headline is, owner of killer bear chokes to death on sex toy.
Did this happen in Tennessee?
No.
Not yet.
It would.
It sounds familiar.
The subhead is, found dead handcuffed to waterbed. Death likely accidental, coroner says. Now, that's some fine coroner work there.
Handcuffed to a bed.
It was likely accidental. So here's the story. Now, this is the story.
Where was this?
It was right outside of Cleveland, Ohio, which, you know, makes logical sense if you think about it.
Have people questioned the bear?
No. Listen. So here you go. And I address this to Drew because, you know, as some of you that have listened to the show before know, we like to stereotype Drew because he's from the South, his family being, you know, Tennesseans, hence the reason why he would automatically suspect that this was a Tennessee story, because the owning of random bears is just a Tennessee thing.
A little bit in North Carolina, but...
Yeah, true. So, an exotic animal owner who made headlines last summer when one of his bears mauled a woman to death has died after apparently choking on a sex toy, authorities said. Sam Mazzola, 49, was found dead in his Columbia Station home on Sunday, face down on a waterbed. He was bound to the bed with handcuffs, chains, and padlocks, the coroner told the newspaper. Mazzola had a sex toy in his throat, which apparently obstructed his breathing.
What toy?
I would say he probably put on the mask in the wrong direction.
It might have also been... Never mind. Just keep going. I have too many visions of bears crossing streams.
Wait. And what I love is that whoever wrote this story for MSNBC must have just fucking hated this guy, because they drew stuff from different sources to give you the fullest picture of what happened. He was also wearing a leather mask with the eyes and mouth zipped shut and a two-piece metal sphere covering his head.
A two-piece metal sphere?
What? Yes. A two-piece metal sphere covering his head, leather mask, gimp mask for those of you that
gimp
are...
Gimp mask.
Yeah. For
zipped.
Those of you, yeah.
And
yeah.
Some sort of sex toy.
And he's... let's assume he's naked, on the bed, chained to it, not just chained, and handcuffed and chained to the bed. He had done this by request, according to the story we were given. There was an assistant, but that is under investigation. So he did have help in getting this way.
One would think, if he was chained.
Yes, yes.
He's also a Tea Party candidate running on a family values platform.
No, that's not... Sorry, you don't get that. You don't get that much schadenfreude in this story. Sorry. Not yet. An autopsy determined the preliminary cause of death was asphyxia due to the airway obstruction by a foreign body. The suicide and homicide have been ruled out. A teenage coworker found Mazzola's body.
Wait, how did a teenage coworker? What kind of job was this guy in again?
Well, like,
teenage body part trafficking.
Now, what's great is the teenage coworker. I'm sorry, the sheriff said. So the sheriff said someone else was at home and helped Mazzola with the bondage, but left before he died.
So the assistant left him.
He was assisted, but the assistant left him, and no one's charged in the death. And he's been in the news in the past because of his ownership and exhibitions of wild animals, which include two tigers, a lion, coyotes, foxes, and the aforementioned, and a bear. However, he did have another bear that mauled and killed one of his workers. The workers actually take care of the exotic animals, and that bear was euthanized. So, and really, there's only one way to punchline this story for you, Drew.
Please.
And that's to show you what Sam Mazzola looked like.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes.
He kind of looks like a bear.
When I first saw this picture, I thought, did Chris Christie die asphyxiating on a sex toy?
We'll throw the link to this up on our
Facebook. It's Chris Christie with a hat.
Yeah, it is. It essentially looks like Chris Christie with a hat.
Well, so, Lee, you have a theory that this reflects something Americana? Break it down for us.
I like to think that at this point in time, America is just an obese guy that is living in a business that's made of fantasy. Exotic animal display. That private exotic animal display just seems sort of like an asshole business anyway. Found chained down, asphyxiated, self-pleasuring, not even having something on his cock or up his ass which might actually bring him pleasure, but by having a sex toy jammed down his throat and being sealed in while being chained down. That, to me, is the debt ceiling debate in a nutshell.
Stand by me.
I'm still stuck on what the toy was.
The toy was Eric Cantor. I'm sorry, you said toy or tool?
Yeah, no, toy.
That he's a sex tool.
Well.
Yes.
We are feasting on a perverse smorgasbord of ridiculousness, and that is choking us because we believe that by one time being the greatest country in the world, we can do whatever we want, and it will work out in the end, and that if we just keep acting like petulant little children, we will get our desires for dominating nature, sexuality, and teenage coworkers all satisfied and not have any negative results. And we're wrong. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Neither was I.
Well, and I think that's the point he was making, is nobody notices.
Right.
Until
right.
It involves a young white girl, whether it's a little Kaylee whatever, or it's the chicken in Britain.
Well, a chicken in Britain?
A
what?
Chick.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like pot pie, chicken in Britain.
Yes, I know that they call, you know, cute women birds, but, you know.
I understand. It was offensive for me to say chick in Britain. The point being, we...
Really?
I don't know,
that's
point.
Offensive.
So let's do. Do you have a swoosh? Good point, Lee. However, I want to mention a news that's close to my heart. Roger Clemens trial.
I don't believe I ever actually got to make my point, but that's okay. Let's.
I thought you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, you want to make it?
No, it's.
What
it's
I have
gone.
To say is fleeting. Just make it.
Huh?
Make your point.
No, I'm good.
Roger Clemens had his perjury trial declared a mistrial because the prosecution announced evidence that the judge had previously said was inadmissible. And as someone who wrote Get Rich Cheating and the Guide to Getting Rich Cheating and Getting Away with It, I would just say that once again, you can rely upon people being dumb. It is the underpinning fact of my book, my seminar, everything is that people, these are prosecutors, and they just torpedo their own case by being dumb.
And what would Rupert Murdoch say about that?
Out of the way, Dobie!
Yes. I wish Rupert Murdoch talked slower. That's what really I want to say on we had 8 minutes.
We have 8 minutes? Should I go back to the
sure. Well, I want to briefly, I would like to
We should talk about the debt ceiling.
Yeah, let's talk about
Here's
what
ceiling.
Here's the debt ceiling.
You know what I think it's like?
Tell me.
I think it's like a dick.
With a bear owning...
With a bear cock jammed down his throat and choking to death because he's been sealed in a metal ball.
Well, at least there was finally some aggression involved with the bear. Today, there was a fight-ish between Cantor and
where's
Obama.
The bear?
The bear was euthanized. After it mauled a woman in 2009.
So the bear had nothing to do with the story.
It just fleshes out the character.
That's how people in... If you lived in the Cleveland, Ohio area, you would be familiar with the man who owned the killer bear.
Right. It's like you have directions, turn left to the Dairy Queen. It's like stick a cock in your mouth, but the bear owner... It's the same type of thing.
Yes.
This is what middle America's like. Don't you ever get out there to all-you-can-eat buffets?
Apparently this guy did.
All you can get. All right. The debt ceiling, I like that Obama is showing a tiny little bit of sack with this whole don't call my bluff thing with Eric Cantor. I just wish he'd do it more.
Do you want to say, why don't you explain what that is?
Yeah,
I think, Drew, do you know the story?
Yeah, you tell us.
Of today from Obama just walking out?
Yeah, what happened?
He says no. we're going to have to raise revenue.
Cantor, this was in the meeting between
Cantor had come back
Congress and the congressional leaders and the president, yesterday over the debt ceiling debate.
Correct.
Yesterday being Wednesday, in case you're listening to this on some other
Cantor,
day.
Cantor has a suggestion that basically puts all the onus on the president. So short-term reductions, there, he's going to be able to unilaterally make that call. And it's obviously just a political move on the part of Cantor and the Republicans, although the Republicans aren't backing it, per se. But it put it so that in 2012, everything that's gone on with the debt ceiling and the raising of the debt will all be on Obama.
Right. And so what happens is Cantor makes this suggestion. Obama says no. But Cantor, for some reason, I guess we would call
him. He stormed out, right?
No. Cantor stormed out from the Biden talks weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago. Cantor, who I guess would be a nudge in the proper term.
Nudge.
Would you say nudge?
Cantor. I don't really want to like align him with any demographic group I'm associated with.
Well, he's a Jew, so
I think he's the type of Jew you'd call. It's not a nerd, it's a dick.
So anyway, he keeps on saying to the president. The president has already said no. He brings it up again. Hey, let's do the short term thing. Obama says, Eric. You know, I said no.
Blow me.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say blow me yet. So then it's going along, and you know, the Republicans are saying, you know, shove tax increases up your ass, shove tax loophole closing up your ass, all of that. And Cantor says, hey, what about that short-term plan? And that's when Obama says, you know what, Ronald Reagan wouldn't take this, which really isn't what you want to measure, because you know Ronald Reagan wouldn't have known what the fuck was going on. And then says, you know what, I don't care if it destroys my presidency. Enough is enough. And then he stands up, says, "Here's my balls, suck 'em," and walks out.
By saying, "Don't call my bluff." It took Eric Cantor pushing him. This is the problem. Obama has been such a so conciliatory and so compromising that it took this far pushing to finally get him to stand up, and he did it. And one thing I hope he does is go back to that hostage taking metaphor he used with the tax cuts in the end of the year. That the Republicans are holding the country hostage again. Like, we need to get on message that the Republicans are great at framing debates. Let's do it. Ourselves. Speaking of...
I think one of the interesting quotes that I heard this week was that the Republicans just don't know when to say yes. They've been given everything.
Yeah. They ultimately negotiating.
So you're just saying it's time to just take them.
Take them bear style. Hey,
I want to see a picture of this.
How about a swoosh? Can we get a swoosh? Sorry, I keep preemptively
swooshing. No, that's okay. No, please.
I want to do a would you rather, and if we have time after the would you, we can wrap up some other stuff. But
sure.
I want to get so this would you rather is prefaced by the knowledge that those of you may or may not know that Sarah Palin recently, or I guess today or yesterday, said that we should not retreat, we should reload. She was referring to a debt ceiling negotiation, using the phrase that she used and got in trouble with as far as the shooting in Arizona and all other times. And she's used this all the time, and we could spend days talking about Sarah Palin. But with that as background, for your would you rather, Drew, it goes to you.
Okay.
Would you rather apply for a job that you had to have with your most recent experience on your resume being Sarah Palin's speechwriter, or would you rather apply for a job that you had to have with your most recent experience being you were Michelle Bachmann?
Wow.
That's the toughest would you rather you've hit me with.
Well,
I'm going to have to go with Palin's speechwriter because...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm going to have to go with that.
There are people that would hire Michelle Bachmann. There are people that elected her in Minnesota.
I wouldn't want to work for anybody that would hire Michelle Bachmann.
And what would you... In your interview, I see here you wrote for Sarah Palin and you didn't... You don't just wrote the one phrase and she used it over and over. How do you explain yourself?
Oh, that was the only phrase I wrote?
Well, the point being, if she's got speechwriters...
I think that's actually a plus. That means you wrote a catchphrase.
Yeah.
I would be Michelle Bachmann.
Okay.
Because that way I could, you know, fuck the gay back into her husband.
Cheater in the Rude! Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. Listen, I got to pimp this again. Next week in Boston, I'm going to be at Club Pass. And go to GetRichCheating.com. Check us out on Cheater on the Root on Facebook. Search it. Yeah, we're going to leave that just hanging out there. We got Twitters. We got Facebook. Drew, do you have anything people can like follow you on the?
No.
Okay.
Apparently not even on Facebook.
That's cool. Drew is going to be hanging around outside of elementary schools with binoculars. Very creepy. You guys, we love our listeners. We do have good listeners. Spread the word. Tell people about this show. Lee, you have anything that you'd like to touch on?
Nah. Just you can always buy my book at orbooks.com. It's the Rude Pundit's Almanac. I've predicted the future, and it is dreadfully coming true. And otherwise, you can listen to us every week here on the Progressive Radio Network.